Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. You're listening to Mark Rawson, and I have my co-host Pamela Latour on. Pam, are you on the line?
Hi, everyone. I'm here.
Well, I want to wish you, Pam, and everybody that's listening to the show this evening a happy holiday. And
thank you.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we have some very special guests on with us this evening. And before we have Pam do an introduction to who we have with us, we're going to actually kick this show off with one of their tracks. We have a couple different of their tracks. We're going to play one of them in the beginning. We'll play one, you know, after the 30-minute break, and then we'll finish off the show with their third track. So go ahead and give a listen to this.
I have climbed to the tops of mountains just to watch the sun come up. I have stumbled through the valley of death just to prove it could be done. Thank you. stamp on your doorstep tonight. Put away all these playthings of addiction. Say my prayers and wait with you for the morning.
Wow, that's an incredible soundtrack. We're going to hear a lot about how that was made and what went into it, and just really love the fact that we could actually have some music on the radio show for the first time besides our introduction music. So with that, Pam, why don't you go ahead and introduce the two great hosts we have on the show with us this evening. Pam?
Excuse me. Here I am. Sorry, I'm talking away. I had the mute button on. Tonight we have an ensemble or a duo by the name of Clean, whose core is songwriter, singer-songwriter Eric Gentry and singer Lisa Agin. Welcome to the show, both of you. Thank you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thanks for being on the show tonight. So I agree with Mark. It was an amazing soundtrack, and I'd like to begin by asking what type of music you would classify it as, because it seems a little bit country, a little bit it's got its own little genre, and I thought I'd ask you what you would qualify it as, and then how did you get started in this particular type of music?
That's great. I was just sure you were going to say a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. I was ready for some.
I held back on that one.
I love that show.
There's an intention that with this album to hopefully start a new genre of music. I mean, there's every time that I describe it on any of the different internet kind of radio stations that I've tried to get play, you know, it's partly Americana, it's alternative country, it's alternative rock and roll. It's kind of, it covers a lot of different, spans a lot of different genres. But what we're looking at trying to do is to create a class of music that's specifically for people in recovery, and we're wanting to call it recovery rock, and just let that be an umbrella term for all the music that kind of speaks to issues for people who are in recovery and from addiction, from alcohol, from food, you know, whatever kind of the way that they're suffering from the disease of addiction, and that they can kind of turn to this genre of music to find support and music that kind of speaks to them in that way.
Wonderful. And how did you get started in this type of music?
Well, I've been in recovery for 25 years, and I've been playing music for about 30. And you know, when I got clean, I just started the music that I was writing just kind of naturally gravitated, because you know, especially in early recovery, it just takes up every bit of your time, and it's a whole change of lifestyle, it's a whole change of perception of the world. And you know, as I started recovering, I just started kind of writing music that was focused around the experiences that I was having in recovery, and that just has continued through a whole lot of years. And you know, the songs have evolved, and my writing has evolved, and so I've attempted to write songs that capture the experience of what it's like to A, suffer from the disease of addiction, and B, the miracle of recovery. So that each song, I try to have a little bit of each of those in every song.
I see. And you have do you have an album out now, or is it coming out soon?
It just went into production today. It will be delivered to my house, the 1,000 copies on January 10th, and it'll be available on CD Baby and iTunes on January 15th.
And what's the name of the album?
Brand spanking new. Say again.
What's the name of the album so we can look?
It's self-titled. It's Clean. It's called Clean.
Nice. Okay. And it'll be released in the middle of January, you said?
That's correct.
Okay. And tell me something. So these are songs about what it's like to live with and recover from the disease of addiction. Am I right?
That's correct.
Is there a bigger audience other than people that are recovering from addiction? Because I like the sounds.
Well, thank you. It's aimed at people who are in recovery, but it's also broadens out to people that love people who are in recovery, or people that have, I had somebody, this is the third CD that we've done, and I had somebody come up to me once at a meeting and tell me that a friend of theirs had given them our second CD, and that because they listened to that CD, they found their way to the rooms of recovery, and that was something that was just really touching for me. And so, there's a hope that the music will also do that. It'll speak to people that might be, suffering from addiction in any form, and to carry a message to them that there's another way, that they don't have to, that the rest of their life doesn't have to be a death march in the darkness of the disease of addiction, that there is a light and there's a pathway out.
Wow. And Lisa, let's hear from you for just a second. How did you get involved with Eric? Is this always been a passion of yours as well, or how did you get involved with this?
Yes, thank you. I really have been singing locally here in Sarasota on and off since 1996. And I would sing out, with some local bands, and I wanted to get away from that aspect of singing. I would sing in different churches and spiritual centers, and I would perform at perhaps a wedding or a private party. And I really liked having the idea of a song with a spiritual message. And my husband and I met Eric in 2006, and I was sharing, how I was a singer and enjoyed singing, spiritually based music. And so he shared the concept with me about recovery with music as having a message. And I was very interested and got to know him and some of the other men that he was performing with. And I listened to their original music, and I just felt like, yes, this is the kind of direction that I want to go with my singing.
I see. Well, that's interesting. Tell me something there. If we can go back to the concept of addiction for just a minute.
Sure.
One of the things that you say in the little blurb that you sent me before the show is that intends to capture both the pain and struggle of living with this disease while simultaneously celebrating the miracle of recovery, which I think is lovely. It's beautifully put. And it got me to thinking about addiction in general. We all suffer from addiction. The truth is that whenever you develop a habit and then you add an emotion, especially a negative emotion, to that habit, you begin developing addiction, no matter what it is, whether it's alcohol or drugs, or you think of negative things when you brush your teeth in the morning. I mean, that's silly in comparison, but we all have a form of addiction, whether it's food, whether it's however we self-nurture, what we think about, how we react to life. Those are all forms of addiction if there's no awareness and connected to negative thought. So wouldn't it be said that aside from the 12-step program, aside from the building your life from this diseased addiction, couldn't it be said also that everyone could benefit from the concept of releasing yourself from addiction?
Boy, that would be a really beautiful thing that I'd love to see, that anybody getting free from the bondage of that condition and that state of being. One of the most potent things I've ever heard in a meeting shared is that recovery is learning what we can use. And, you know, one of the things that you see with happening with people that get clean from drugs or from alcohol is that they then find food or sex or money or, you know, and then they have to work a program around those issues. And it's, you know, sometimes multiple years and decades before people find themselves kind of completely free of any kind of obsessive thoughts and compulsive behaviors around the way that addiction kind of permeates their lives. And so, yes, the album has that message in it, too. It's not just about drugs and alcohol. It's about getting clean from the dark, cancerous spiritual condition of addiction.
Yes, it's about the human experience. Planet Earth can be a trip sometimes.
Absolutely. And third-dimensional reality, you know, I mean, it carries with it negative and positive everything you think about, doesn't it? So
yes.
I like that concept. I love the concept of having music that you can listen to. It's actually music, from my perspective, that brings your awareness up of what am I thinking about? What am I feeling? How am I being? Don't you think?
Yes, one of my favorite words that I learned from Eric is evocative.
So I have a question for you, Eric.
Go ahead, Mark.
Tell us a little bit, well, you know, you can go ahead and finish what you were going to say, Eric, but after that, can you tell us a little bit about the first two albums that you have out?
Well, what I was going to say is kind of to rejoin that thought that Pam said is that, you know, a really nice way to understand addiction is the absence of spirit. That people who are in addiction in any form, they are not connected to spirit, that they are spiritually asleep, and that what the recovery process is in any form is the wakening of the spirit. And that's what our music intends to do, is to help kind of call people to come awake.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I'm really looking forward
to
hearing this whole album.
We did an EP in 2006, and it was just a regional production, and it was not very well done, and it was with a band that I was with that kind of Clean was born from, which was called Unloaded. And then Lisa and I did a low-budget CD with 13 songs on it, I think, in 2008. And, you know, a lot of the songs that are on this album are redone from that original album, and it'll be on the website that people can download and kind of look at the evolution of these songs. But this album was recorded in Nashville at a really prestigious studio with you know, spectacular musicians. So it's really exciting to have been able to record with such incredible artists the production on this is way beyond the previous two.
Can you, you know, the first track that we heard, you know, after, the, you know, to, you know, to explain this a little bit, for people who are listening to the radio show, we always start our radio show off with the initial trademark song for our radio show. But after that, we played a track called Crawling. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there's several places that came from, and I guess that the first place that it would come from was a nod to Henry Nouwen, who's one of my favorite writers, and he wrote The Wounded Healer and wrote several books on spiritual maturation, and the last book he wrote of his life was called The Return of the Prodigal Son, and it's a little monograph about spiritual maturation as told through the three characters of the parable of the prodigal son, and about how that in order for somebody to become spiritually mature, they have to find themselves having squandered their inheritance and make their way back home, and how that process of kind of coming back home, of crawling our way back home, is part of becoming spiritually mature, that we've got to kind of claim that. And that's really what I saw recovery as, you know, that recovery is where people who are addicts are all prodigal sons and daughters, you know, that we've squandered our inheritance and we found ourselves sleeping with the swine. and we crawl our way back to the rooms, and that's like coming home. But it's also a metaphor about being in relationships and how many times that I've been afraid to commit myself to the process of love, and that's what the song's really about, is that you know, I'm afraid, but I'm walking through my fear, you know. I'm trembling, but I am not withered. You know, it's kind of like that with the strength of the spiritual connection, I can walk into the process of allowing myself to love and to be loved. And it's kind of about growing up in love rather than it being the adolescent, you know, just kind of chasing down lust. It is really about kind of it's about kind of being an adult and loving it at the peak of our capacity.
I feel like we should jump into another song and kind of have you talk about it before we get started. But before we do that, can you tell everybody your website? Where can they find out more? You know, where can they find out, you know, information as the album gets ready to come out so that they can purchase this?
Well, there's two places. There is www.cleanmusic, and that's spelled like Kleenex, K-L-E-E-N. music.com, and that website is currently being constructed because the album's not out yet, but when the album comes out, that website will be active and people can buy it. They can listen to snippets of all the songs on that website. There's going to be each song will have its own page, so the story behind each song. There will be a blog and lots. I'm trying to build a community around this album so that people can get, you know, involved with it globally, that have some excitement with it and feedback for us. And then we're also on Facebook, and that's at facebook.com/KLEEN. So either of those will get you to a copy of the album and more information about our band and our purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I want to do is I want to play the full track for Believe. Before I do that, can you tell us about this song?
I'm going to let Lisa tell you about it. Well, she sings beautifully.
Thank you. It definitely has the message about, you know, in recovery, to have those that have gone before us that have, you know, experienced the things that we are or have experienced, and how to reach out and ask for help, and that we can perhaps have different circumstances, but we can relate to the feelings, and that we ask for guidance from, you know, people that have struggled and suffered and what they do to overcome it. And it's the trust. It's about building the trust with your connection to your higher power, and it's building trust in relationships and, you know, having that experience of knowing, not just believing, even though the song is called Believe. When you have that process and when you've experienced it and had the action, then you know it. It becomes a knowing.
And I would add just one more little piece to that. For those of you who are listening who are familiar with The Course in Miracles, this is really kind of taken from that also. That's where the thought that I wrote this from, is that how what a miracle is the evolution, the change of perception, of correction of perception, but how in order to be able to change the perception into a connection with spirit, that we need a relationship with another person. And so that's what this song is about, is how that through a relationship with another person and reaching out to it, that I'm healed, that I'm able to come to believe that things are going to be okay only through that relationship with another person.
It's a very interesting statement, and I want to counter it with a question, and that is, you know, I believe very strongly in what you said. And the question I would ask you is, where do you draw the line in that type of growth versus a codependence type of thing?
Good question.
That's a great question. And, you know, that what I would say to that is that, you know, in the beginning, that people who have the disease of addiction are not very good at reaching out. And then we find ourselves starting to do that, and it takes a while. Then we get really dependent, And then, you know, after, if we stay clean for 4 or 5 or 6 years, then we start finding the balance of how to be able to activate and utilize a support network without kind of sucking them dry and without kind of being overly dependent upon people. But it takes a while. There's a maturation and a learning process in that. And you know, what we've all found, every one of us, is that we've found tolerance and love with people just continuing to put up with all of our craziness and continuing to love us while we've been just totally insane. And, you know, that's kind of the miracle of 12-step recovery, is that people just put up with you.
Wow. So, you know, with that, and I have tons of questions, as I'm sure Pamela does, but before we do that, I want to just tell everybody, you listen to Blog Talk Radio and listen to Spiritual Connections Radio, and we're playing the track from a song called Believe. So let's go ahead and listen to this here.
I believe, I believe. It's 4 a.m. and I just can't sleep. Scared and alone and in way too deep. Grappling with demons, fighting with God. Nowhere to turn, so I pick up the phone. You're not my mother, you're not my father. You're not my God, but you're on the other end. You share your strength and your hope and your love with me. I find a little for myself, and I come to believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Run from commitment, afraid of getting close, unable to find myself needing someone. You tell me to trust it.
Jump in here for just a minute, because I'd like to address the concept of the spiritual adult. You know, in the concept of belief, believing, I believe, what would you determine, and this is really addressed to both of you, how would you classify the concept of a spiritual adult? Eric, you mentioned it earlier. What do you think?
Albert Einstein said the most important decision a human being ever makes is whether we live in a hostile or benevolent universe. And I think that that's really the maturation of spirit, is that when a person can start to see that that fear is not their God, that that it's the evolution away from fear, so that it's not that I'm going to be afraid of things for the rest of my life, but fear no longer directs my course of life. That hopefully today, most of the time, that I'm directed by a course of love, that I choose love, that I seek to follow the pathway of a God of love instead of being enslaved by fear. I guess that I see that is the biggest maturational hurdle for people to reach in their spiritual development, is where that they are less and less driven and reactive to their fear, and they're more and more driven by intention. That's the best way that I could describe it.
I like that. Do you agree with that, Lisa?
Oh, I certainly do. The spiritual being that we are, that we're having a human experience, I like that phrase. And to realize that we can be whole and complete, that, you know, we don't need to have whatever the thing is that we were obsessing over and craving and the addiction, to believe that, you know, who we are, you know, our true nature, to really align with our true nature. And that, you know, the letting go of the struggle and the, like Eric said, and the fear, and being willing to, you know, walk that line and releasing the old behaviors and having the courage to face the things that we know we can do with the help of, you know, seeking that spiritual path and following in the footsteps of those that are on that same path.
That's really nice. You know, a little bit ago, Eric said something about after a person is in recovery for a while, several years, and they develop these relationships with people, and you talked about a balance, Eric, a balance sort of created in the relationships with others. When I think this was in response to Mark asking you about codependency, and I got to thinking about that. It's really a phenomenal question and answer. And I wanted to ask you about the concept of boundaries as it relates to that last question, because what is the difference between balance created in a relationship and boundaries that you create for yourself between you and other people that you're in a relationship with and you and your world?
That's a big question, and I think that the best way that I can answer that is to say that, you know, any time that I needed help when I was early in recovery, and I reached out, somebody was there for me, and so that I seek to do that in you know, you heard the lyrics of I Believe, where it changed from the first person to second person, you know, in the last verse, of where I become the person that is being reached to, where in the beginning of that I was the one that was reaching out for help, and then at the last verse that I was the one that was reached to. And that's kind of what I see as it's my responsibility to give back, but I also have a responsibility to live a life of and pursue my dreams. So that, how do you balance that? Well, you know, I work the 12 steps of recovery, and there's an 11th step, and the 11th step is that we've sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with the God of our understanding, seeking only knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. That as I am able to have a spiritual connection and seek that what is right action for me, then what I find is that I'm able to make the right decision about whether, you know, do I be of service here to this other person, or is this a situation where I need to ask them to seek somebody else, and that I need to tend to this thing that's in my life today. I don't think that there's a formula for it. I think that it's mm-hmm. something that I have to do in a conscious relationship with my God, so that I know that I'm kind of, as best I can, I'm doing the right thing at that time.
So it's building awareness about yourself and your world. Is that a good way to summarize it, or is it too simplistic?
Say that again.
Building awareness.
Say that again, please.
Building awareness of yourself in your world. Hello?
I think that's exactly what it is. But it's a little bit bigger than awareness. It is, you know, what's my intention? And my intention is to be of service to the world, to other people, but it's also the intention of being of service to myself. And, you know, the balance in that is, you know, I get it wrong a lot of the times, and I get it right a lot of the times.
I see. So
there's
clean... Go ahead.
That's it. That's all I want to say.
Okay. So Queen's new album has 14 songs. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
How would you paraphrase, if you could give me the feeling of the album, what would you say the feeling was?
How's the feeling?
Yeah, well, if you could like take all 14 songs and say, okay, this is how that song, that music in those 14 songs makes me feel, what would the feeling be?
Can you repeat that one more time, please?
Sure. There's 14 songs in the album. If you could listen to all 14 songs and say, okay, this is how this music makes me feel, what would the feeling be?
Well, there's different songs that have different intentions, and some of them are kind of about the process of getting clean, and so that there's some painful stuff in there, some real kind of raw what it's like to have been in the grips of recovery, and then there's some really kind of ecstasy kind of issues around just being clean and being in recovery.
Mm.
So that I think there's a whole, it's a lot like going to a recovery meeting, that you hear people share pain and they, you know, that they're crying, and then you hear another person share something really funny, and you hear another person share something really pithy, and so you come away from the meeting with this whole kind of several different a mosaic of feelings, and that's kind of what is my hope that comes from the album, is that it's a mosaic of experiences in recovery, not just one feeling.
That's beautiful. I love that. So it's the album sort of takes you on a ride, an emotional ride of the miracle of recovery and the ecstasy of that and the pain that you're moving through on a day-to-day basis.
I wrote every song with that formula in mind, that I wanted to articulate something about the pain that everybody who has addiction has experienced, you know, that every one of us who've ever had addiction have experienced, you know, so much pain that we've wanted to die. And and then at the same time, I also want to make sure that the message of recovery, the miracle that we're not there anymore, is also articulated. So every song tries to have both of those in there.
Okay. And how would you – are you there?
Yeah, I actually – it's Mark. I had a question for Eric. You know, since some of the people who are listening to the radio show are probably familiar with addiction, but they're not familiar with the 12-step program, can you talk about the 12-step program and what's actually involved in the 12 steps, just like a quick summary for people who are not familiar with the program?
Well, it is it's a stepwise. There are obviously 12 steps, and those steps are designed to help us to disconnect our obsession and compulsion to things outside of ourselves to try to heal us and fix us. And they are a process of resolving the shame of the past and relinquishing the shame of the past until we get to the final steps, the 10th and the 11th and the 12th step, which are really about connecting with a God and being able to be in a relationship with that God and being becoming more and more attuned to a life of the spirit and waking up that spirit and being fully alive. And, you know, it is kind of moving from a victim to a survivor to kind of a hero, to somebody who is pursuing our dreams. And that's kind of what I see happen with everybody who's ever worked the 12 steps and has stayed abstinent from whatever chemical or substance that they're addicted to. You start finding that their dreams awaken and they're achieving their dreams in their lives, and it's miraculous to get to watch that transformation every day. Is that's what life in recovery is about, is that people's lives transform every single day in the rooms of the 12 step fellowships.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
So, you know, if I had a certain type of addiction, you know, how would I find a program? Is it best just to, you know, check out on the internet, or what's the best way of finding a good resource?
Well, you know, one of the things that is pretty important about our traditions is that we don't really talk about, we don't publicly discuss the particular fellowship that we're members of. Because that we want to maintain an anonymous process with that. That's pretty important, not just for preserving the fellowship, but also as a state of spiritual being, that we want to kind of move towards less and less towards ego and more towards service and anonymity. And but that said, you know, that there's all you ever have to do is Google addiction. And there's just a whole, you know, you'll get pages and pages of resources that are in your area. Just about every metropolitan area has some type of help desk for finding services around recovery from addiction, and are aware of the treatment programs, are aware of meetings that you can access that. Most places, at least in Florida, there's a 211 number that you can call, and that just connects you with all the community services.
Well, that's good to know.
And I think there's also a program for people who are supporting people that have addictions also.
For sure. There's several, you know, co-addiction or whatever you want to call that. There's Al-Anon, there's Alateen, there's Naranon, there's Codependence Anonymous, that all of those kind of different fellowships are oriented towards people that have kind of relational issues of whether they are overcaring or overextended in the life of somebody who may be an addict or may not. It's just the people that have those boundary issues and struggles, that there are fellowships that are designed to help them to be more balanced in the way that they interact with other people.
You know, when you first, you know, played some of this music for some of your friends that have gone through the program with you or are currently in the program, what type of experience did you have with that? I mean, how powerful was it for them?
It's been a mixed bag. There have been some people that have just told me that it's the most powerful thing that they've ever had, and they've come with tears in their eyes and they're touched, and there's a whole lot of people that are just pretty passe about it and that they don't have very much to say, and all phases in between. That it's really been interesting to see that there's just, I never know what, you know, it's Forrest Gump and his box of chocolates. I just don't know what I'm going to get back from the people that listen to our music. So I have stopped having any expectations around it. I've gotten a whole lot thicker skinned, and I just kind of have really relinquished the outcome of this album. I have no idea where it's going or what's going to happen with it. It is my intention that it touches people's hearts and it helps them find a way to their spirit and to their love. And, you know, however that plays out, I have no idea how it's going to touch people.
Wow, yeah. So, Pam, I'll let you go ahead and fire off the last question, and then I'll wrap up everything, because I want to ask Eric question and play the last track to close off the show tonight.
All right. So Eric and Lisa, what Eric, you just said something that I thought was really profound. You said it helps them find their way. Could you repeat that for me?
I think I said something. I never know what I say. I just open my mouth and frogs jump out. But I think I said something about helping them to find their way to spirit and to the pathway of love in their lives, and that they can relinquish, you know, as the song in Crawling says, to help them to let go of the playthings of addiction, you know, and find their way on a path that is that's unfettered by shackles and things that have held them down their whole lives, and that they find that you know, so many people think that the way that you live a life of your dreams is by brute force. And what we learn in the program of recovery is that the way you live the life of your dreams is through surrender and not with will to power. It's not forcing your way to get what you want. It's instead learning how to surrender. And that's what this album is kind of about. It's about, you know, the courage and strength that it takes to be a surrendered being rather than one that is beating their chest and you know, clawing their way through their lives.
Align, allow, and accept.
That's what we're trying to do. Yes.
Align, allow, and accept. I like that. You know, what you were saying about the album in terms of, or the CD, you know how old I am now, in terms of the way that people react to it, I think that's phenomenal because many years ago I was a sculptor and I used to do these exhibitions, and I remember this one piece that I did with a man sitting and the woman sitting in front of him, and it was a very realistic sculpture. And the man had his arms around the woman, and the people that would come by would say, some of them would say, oh, that's so sweet and so beautiful and so lovely. And the next person that would come by would say, he looks possessive and controlling. And, you know, it was so shocking when I heard these two opposite perspectives. And then I realized that everything moves in vibration. Everything, emotion moves in vibration. So when someone looks at something, they can only experience what they're feeling in the moment, what they know. Don't you agree?
Yes.
100%.
You see the world as you are.
Exactly. So the way that people respond to the music is exactly what they need out of it in that moment.
And it's my hope that this album is impressionistic enough that people can kind of see what they do need to see in it, and that it lights them up a little bit, and that it makes their quality of life a little bit better. That's my greatest hope with this album.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. If you could leave our audience with one thought that maybe someone that is looking at trying to move out of addiction for the first time or is really in the process of recovery right now, if you could leave them with one hope, one thought, that might inspire or encourage them, what would you say?
I would say that a good life is available to every single person on this planet. And what it requires us to do is to let go of the way that we see what we need and what we think we need, and that we surrender to a life of the spirit. And when people surrender to a life of the spirit and allow themselves to be directed by a force of love, they find that they are able to have joy, peace, purpose, meaning, and love in their lives, independent of the external context, whether they're poor, whether they're rich, whether they're afflicted with whatever disease, whatever else, that a good life is available for every single human being. And that is the pervasive message throughout that CD.
Hmm. Well, I wanted to, thank both of you for being on the radio show this evening. And before we close out with your song, can you tell us again where we can find out more information about the music?
Yes, on the Clean Music website, it's KLEENMUSIC, cleanmusic.com is our website, and all of the contact information is on that website, telephone, email, or you can email me, Eric@cleanmusic.com, or Lisa@cleanmusic.com. And if anybody has any questions or any comments, they're certainly welcome to email us, and I'd love to hear those.
Oh, that's great. Lisa, thank you for being on the show this evening, and Erica,
well,
thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
And Pam, it's always good to have you as my host on the show, so thank you for being here, and happy holidays to everybody. And I want to finish off with a song called Second Best. And before I kick that off, Eric, can you kind of just talk about Second Best, and then we'll just lead into that for the end of the show?
Sure. This song is a mosaic. It's the first song that I wrote with the intention of, because all the ones I had written before were for me, and this was when Lisa and I really started first singing together. And I wrote something that I wanted Lisa to sing, and this is maybe one of the most raw songs in terms of its content, because it starts out with being, you know, kind of intimating towards domestic violence associated with addiction, which was part of my history in my development in my early years, and it's kind of looking at that the bleak lifestyle of a couple that is addicted, you know, and that the man is an addict and he's not willing to do anything, and it's kind of showing the relational process of where the woman Lisa, as the singer, says, you know, I can't take this anymore and I'm leaving, and then as that happens, what you hear in the denouement of the song is that the man ends up finding his way to recovery. And what happens is if they come back together and they find this really beautiful relationship, you know, after he's been sober for a little while, and that he's kind of at the end of the song, he's going, you know, looking at her and saying, you're the best thing. No, wait, you're the second best thing. The best thing is recovery. No, you're the best thing. It's, you know, he's kind of back and forth between, is it you my wife that's the best thing, or is it recovery that's the best thing that's happened to me? And what's clear is that, you know, those two things have saved, that as people have gotten clean, they found marriages get saved, and that relationships are healed, and that's kind of the it's trying to really catch the miracle of recovery in two people's lives. That's the intention of that song.
Well, that's incredible. Just to remind everybody again, what is the release date when they can get a hold of all this great music?
Online, it'll be January 15th. It'll be on iTunes and CD Baby, that you can just search Clean and you'll be able to download that album. If you want a hard copy, you can get that from CD Baby, or you can get that from the website, cleanmusic.com.
All right. Thank you. And I want to thank you for all being on the radio show, and wish you all a happy holiday, and a happy holiday to all our listeners. You're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio with Mark Ross and Pamela Tor, and thank you for our guest this evening. We're going to go ahead and finish off the show tonight with a song called Second Best. Good night,
happy
everybody.
Happy holidays. Good night.
Thank you all very
happy
much.
Happy New Year. Good night.
Again. the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know that it's me.
I love a man who used to love the bottle. He's been sober these past few years, and I love him more each day. He's still got his problems. God knows I got mine, but someday.
You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Good night.
Life is but a dream.